In Luke chapter 11 this morning, we noticed a reference of Jesus. We just read over it with the promise to return in just a little while. That little while is now. Back to Jesus' reference to this Old Testament character, Jonah. And in order to understand what Jesus is really referencing and how in the world it relates to you, on this first day of spring in 2016 in Central Ohio, we've got to go back a few hundred years before the days of Jesus. Back to this man Jonah. We know whose son he was according to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. He was the son of a man named Amittai. Beyond that, we don't know a great deal about this man's background. But if we were going to encapsulate the message of the first chapter of Jonah, we could do it like this. Jonah flees. Begin reading with me in Jonah 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." Nineveh was a great city east of Jonah. In fact, it was perhaps the greatest city of Jonah's day. It was the hub of the great Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were a vicious, brutal, oppressive people. Jonah was an Israelite. The Israelites already at this point in Jonah's life had suffered terribly at the hands of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the enemy. Israelites tried to stay away from Assyrians. And now the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is coming to Jonah, and he's saying, "I want you to go to the Assyrians, and I don't only want you to go to the fringes, I want you to go to the heart. I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh and call out against it." Can you imagine going not to the fringes, but into the heart of Syria and calling out against ISIS, workers of great evil that the Lord God Almighty sees and knows and hates? Those are a very small group of people in 2016. This was an equally brutal, if not more brutal, people, but they ruled a large amount of the known world. God says to Jonah, "I want you to go." Jonah gets up and flees west towards Spain, to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down into that boat to go with them west, away from the presence of the Lord. If we're going to summarize Jonah chapter 1, it is Jonah flees to Tarshish and he is caught in a mighty tempest. You can't run from the presence of the Lord. You go to the heights of Mount Everest, you go to the depths of the Mariana Trench in the ocean, you can't flee from the presence of God. You go to the moon, you go to Mars, you go wherever you want, and you cannot flee from the presence of the great I Am. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so much so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners, these experienced sailors, they are afraid. And each one cries out to his God. If enough of us, perhaps they think, cry out to every God that we know, maybe we'll find the one who is causing this mighty tempest. They hurl the cargo that is in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. And here is Jonah. He's gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean? You sleeper, arise, call out to your God." These mariners, they haven't found the right one. Maybe it's the God of the person who's asleep in this ship. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you?" And finally, Jonah is gradually willing to come out of hiding. "I am a Hebrew. I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And now when they hear that this Jonah serves the God who made the sea, they are exceedingly afraid. Now we know," they think, "what is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of this God whom he claims to serve. He had told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Put yourself on that boat as it is being battered in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Jonah says, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. They could not. The sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to Yahweh, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea. And can you imagine watching as he hits the water, he begins to sink. Suddenly now the sea ceases from its raging. Then these men who are still on the boat, they fear the great I am exceedingly. They offer sacrifice to the Lord. They make vows. They have never seen anything like this. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. If we were going to encapsulate the message of Jonah chapter 2, it would simply be this: after 3 days and three nights, Jonah prays. Jonah 2 and verse 1, he prays to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. You can read the text of his prayer, ultimately ending in this: salvation belongs to the I am. You think Jonah had ever believed that more than he believed that in that moment? And verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What do you do now? If we were going to encapsulate the message of Jonah chapter 3, it would be this. He goes and he proclaims. The word in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1 of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Same message. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. And Jonah still gets to choose. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. Listen, 3 days' journey this city was in breadth. Jonah goes into the city a day's journey and he opens up his mouth. You and I have sung this morning, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Jonah goes a day's journey into this city and he opens his mouth and he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh, this exceedingly great city, shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. We don't have time this morning. If you go into Jonah chapter 4, you can see that this is Jonah's worst nightmare. He knows God. He knows the power of God's word. And he knows these vicious enemies of his people. And he doesn't want them to be saved. That's another sermon for another day, exposing just how sick our hearts can become. People hear this word and they believe God. They call for a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. How great? In verse 6, the word reaches the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He removed his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. He sat in ashes. He issues a proclamation. He publishes it throughout Nineveh. Here it is. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. We're going to fast, he says. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? We've been told 40 days. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Open your Bibles with me, and as you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, appreciate the fact that we are going a few hundred years worth of history into the future. And here is Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Both Matthew and Luke record these sayings. We'll camp in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38, beginning, we read about scribes and Pharisees. They've been hearing what Jesus has to say. They don't believe him. Not only do they not believe him, they're doing everything they can to discredit him. Their hearts are hard. They are putting down others who would soften their hearts and listen to this ordinary looking man, son of a carpenter from Nazareth. He's speaking with great authority. He's claiming to be the fulfillment of the law and the Psalms and prophets, prophets like Jonah. And they don't like this message. It threatens them. It demands a change from them. It demands humility of them. And so even at this point, they are intent. Whatever we can do to disparage him, to discredit him, to draw attention away from him, we're going to do it. And so they say in Matthew 12 and verse 38, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." To which Jesus responds, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign." Why would Jesus say that? He has been working many signs, and yet really that is the point. You look at Matthew, you look at Luke, prior to this account, Matthew 12, prior to Luke chapter 11, there have been dozens of signs. People who could not talk can now talk. People who could not walk can now walk. People who were dead aren't dead anymore. And Jesus is saying, "I am doing this by the finger of God." You can know, therefore, that God's reign is right here among you. If you would only open your eyes, if you would only open your ears, if you would soften your hearts, but because you will not, you are showing just how evil your thoughts are, how unfaithful you are being to God. And yet one more time, Jesus draws attention to a sign. "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." They knew about Jonah. They knew very well the account that you and I have read together. Jesus reminds them of it in verse 40. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish." Jesus believed that Jonah really walked this earth. Jesus not only believed that Jonah walked the earth, Jesus was the one who created Jonah. Jesus was the one responsible for the making of this great fish that swallowed Jonah. Jesus really believed that happened. Just as surely as he references Noah and the flood, or Elijah and fire from heaven, Jesus really believed. Jesus is communicating to the people of his own day. He's communicating to you and to me. You can really believe. God has been telling you the truth. This is the God. In fact, I am the God who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And now the God who is walking among us says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Verse 41, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment." Not only does Jesus want his audience then and his audience now to understand, Jonah really walked the earth. Jonah really spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. He also wants us to understand judgment really is coming. Those men and women, those inhabitants of Nineveh, they really lived a long time ago. But they have not ceased to exist. They have not gone on into oblivion. God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. And the day is going to come when every single person ever created in the image of God stands before God in judgment. And the people who lived in that exceedingly great city of Nineveh, they will be there. Jesus says, they will be there with you in the judgment. But he wants the people of his generation to understand, those men of Nineveh, they're going to rise up at the judgment and they're going to condemn this generation. Why? They turned. They heard the word of the Lord. They heard the warnings. They turned away from their sins. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And here is God's own Son proclaiming righteousness and self-control and coming judgment, giving sign after sign after sign, someone greater than Jonah the prophet. And you will not turn. Behold the sign of the prophet Jonah. Go in your Bible with me to the Gospel of John. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all telling us the story of Jesus. John chapter 1, where we will read in just a moment. What do we see in this sign that God himself draws attention to? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the son of Amittai. Here is Jesus. No ordinary man. The Word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Here is the Word walking among us. John bids us to open our eyes and to see in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was this Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh. The Word that spoke through Jonah hundreds of years before Jesus walks the earth, that Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. John says when we watched him, when we heard him, when we followed him, we saw glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold the sign of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai. Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jonah heard the word of the Lord and he ran in the opposite direction. By the time Jesus talks about this sign, Luke, for instance, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 tells us he had already set his face to go to Jerusalem. God says, Jonah, I want you to head east. Jonah heads west. Jesus has set his face. He knows he's going to Jerusalem. He knows that he's going to be killed there. Behold, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Go back with me to the Gospel of John, this time chapter 12. Jonah was picked up and hurled by those experienced mariners into the sea. Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem and he knows that he is going to be lifted up and suspended between heaven and earth. Hear him in his own words, John chapter 12 and verse 32. I, not if, but when. I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And just so we understand how important these words are, John tells us he's saying this to show us by what kind of death he's going to die. Jonah is picked up, hurled into the sea. Jesus knows going to Jerusalem, he will be lifted up and suspended between heaven and earth. Jonah's entombment is because of his own rebellion. Jesus's entombment is going to be for the rebellion of everyone. He goes to Jerusalem. He is lifted up. He is suspended between heaven and earth, and he comes out of the grave. And over the course of 40 days, he wants his disciples to understand, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets like Jonah and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. He opened the minds of those disciples, many of whom are responsible for the book that we hold in our hands this morning. He opened their minds to understand what those Psalms and the law and the prophets were really pointing to. And he says, I am the one this was all about. Thus it is written that the Christ, the deliverer, the Lord's anointed one, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Why did he do that? Because mankind has rebelled against him. His entombment is for the rebellion of mankind, so that now, having conquered death, repentance and forgiveness of sins can be proclaimed in my name, the name of Jesus Christ, to all nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. Behold the sign of Jonah. Jonah's resurrection comes after his repentance. Jesus' resurrection provides mankind the very opportunity to repent. In Acts chapter 1, this is how Luke begins his orderly account of what really happened. Luke says, you need to know, you can know, in fact, with certainty, this Jesus, 3 days and three nights in the grave, he came out and he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs. He didn't appear for 40 seconds. He didn't appear for 40 minutes, 40 hours. He walked among us, eyewitnesses, for almost 6 weeks. 40 days. Telling us about the rule of God, the kingdom of God. Why? Jonah's resurrection comes after his repentance. Jesus' resurrection provides everyone, every single person of all time, from that point forward, the opportunity to repent, to hear this invitation. Peter extends it in Acts 2 and verse 38. Turn from your sins. Judgment is coming. The men and the women of Nineveh will be there. I will be there. You will be there. We will all be there. Here are real life men and women who heard God's warning and they turned. And now Jesus spends 3 days and three nights in the grave, and he has conquered death, so that you have the opportunity to hear this invitation. You also turn from your sins. Be baptized in the name of this risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Behold the sign of the prophet Jonah. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. So many refused to repent, though Jesus provided dozens of signs, though he walked among mankind for 40 days, so many refused to turn. You and I, sometimes we play these games with ourselves. If I only saw a miracle, then I would really believe. Someone like Jonah really walked the earth. He was really swallowed by this great fish. He really spent 3 days and three nights there. If I only saw a miracle, then I would believe. Listen, people saw Jesus over the course of 40 days, risen from the dead. And even then, some were unwilling to turn. You and I have everything that we need in order to turn. The sign is clear. Simeon, when Jesus was just days old, had blessed Mary. He had blessed this child. Behold, he had prophesied, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign. This is about a sign that the vast majority of people are going to oppose. At the beginning of his ministry, Jews asked him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, here is the biggest, clearest sign of all. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? Even then, 3 years prior to the fact, he's talking about the temple of his body. And when he conquered death, those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, they remembered and they believed. The sign is clear. Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 says, this is what it is all about. I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. I've been called to be an apostle. I've been set apart for this good news of God that he promised through his prophets. Men like Jonah in his holy scriptures is all about his son who was descended from David according to his flesh. He was declared to be the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness. And he was declared, we can know he really is the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. He is Jesus, the Messiah, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, and we're trying to bring about, Paul says, the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. The sign is right here. In Romans 4 and verse 24, righteousness can be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. He was delivered up, suspended between heaven and earth for our trespasses, entombed for 3 days and three nights, and raised for our justification. Everywhere those first century Christians went, they proclaimed this message. The times of ignorance, Paul preaches in Acts 17, God overlooked. Now he commands all people everywhere to turn. He has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this, how can we know it's really true? He raised his son from the dead. He was with us for 40 days. And so let me ask you, as we study that sign together this morning, are you like that reluctant prophet trying to run from God? Are you just counting the moments until this assembly is done so that you can leave and run? Are you keeping this closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Trying to run. You know what he wants of you. You know his command. You know the fact that he gave his son. You know that his son is calling you to turn, to be baptized in his name so that your sins can be forgiven. You know that he is calling you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know you need to take that step, but right now, up until this point, you've been running. What are you going to do with Jesus? Who stops us right where we are and says, before you run any further, you need to understand. I gave my life for you. The reason you have the opportunity that you have today is because I've given you that opportunity. And one day the opportunities are going to come to an end. And then it will be too late to turn. One day, everyone is going to stand before me in judgment. Look at what I have done so that you can be ready for that day. Behold the sign of the prophet Jonah. Have you responded to the command that echoes from that sign? God has been so patient, not willing that any should perish, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He has fixed a day. Perhaps that day is today. He has fixed a day. What is it to him to raise up a great fish and preserve a man in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights? What is it to him to do that when he spoke and the world was created? That's child's play. Do we think it is incredible that he would keep Jonah in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights when we see what his son did over and over and over again among us? He's fixed a day when we will all stand before him in judgment. How do we know he's telling us the truth? Jesus of Nazareth set his face toward Jerusalem. He willingly gave his life, suspended for 6 hours between heaven and earth for the rebellion of mankind. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And then he comes out of the grave. And for 40 days he walks around. Nobody can dispute it. There he is. And his resurrection provides me the opportunity to turn, to be buried by baptism in his name for the forgiveness of my sins. Behold the sign of the prophet Jonah. What will your answer be having seen that sign? Do you need to stop running and come to him even this morning?